Hi, I'm Susan Moore, Community Engagement Manager with IIBA.
And I'm Scott Bennett, Manager of Business Analysis with the International Institute of Business Analysis.
And this is Business Analysis Live.
Susan, where are you right now?
I am in Dallas, Texas. This is not a good representation of Dallas, Texas. It's a little more exciting, but I am at a Oracle Group conference. It's the Quest conference that's here in Dallas. I'm really excited. Delvin's lecturer and I are both speaking to, you know, Oracle JD Edwards users who have come in to learn more about business analysis and a lot of other topics, but we're here for business analysis.
That's awesome. Sounds good. Well, good luck with your presentation.
Thanks. As soon as I get off today's live, we're downstairs and give that talk. So, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, we'll make it quick. Well, 30 minutes. So today we're going to talk about unpacking the global state of business analysis. We have a guest that's joining us today. We'll introduce her in a minute. But why would you be interested in understanding this research that IIBA does every year? Well, how do we describe this? Maybe know your worth?
Yeah, a good way to think about this. And actually to tie this together with what I'm just about to talk about, you know, as business analysis professionals, I like to think that we don't have to get ready if we stay ready. I think one of the ways that we can stay ready is to understand our worth and also to understand just what's trends in our profession, the industries that are hiring us, the salaries. There's a lot of information if you think about how to improve or where you might go next. This Global State of Business Analysis report really comes at it from all different angles.
Yeah, that's right. And this is going to be different than a regular Business Analysis Live. We're going to be relying on some PowerPoint slides because there's a lot of information here to share with you. We'll do our best to articulate what we're seeing on the screen for those of you that are listening to the podcast, but we'll also put a link to the YouTube video if you do want to see the visuals after you listen to the podcast. So yep. We have a guest joining us today. Without further ado, let's introduce Enno. Welcome, Enno.
Hi, Scott and Susan. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
People might be familiar with your name because you do have, a reputation in the business analysis industry. But for those who haven't heard of you, tell us a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. My name is Enno Eka, and I am the founder of the Business Analysis School. I am an absolute lover of business analysis and a huge influencer for this career path. Because like I always say, business analysis changed my life. I used to be an accountant. I found this career and my life changed forever. And I became an evangelist of this career. And, you know, fast forward to today, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that I have taught and spoken to about business analysis and helped them with transforming their careers. So I'm happy to be here to discuss, you know, how we can leverage the Global State of Business Analysis report.
And I know you've done discussions before about the Global State of Business Analysis. Mm-hmm. How would you describe it for people? Why would they really want to pay attention to this?
I really recommend this report because it is sort of like our source of truth. As business analysts, we are data driven. And so the data is right there. You know, the industries that are hiring business analysts, how much they pay the average business analyst. For my years of experience, how much should I be earning? And then based off the job title that I have, how much should I be earning? And then also, what are companies investing in? What are the insights within my industry? And so, you know, this is definitely your source of truth. And you want to stay, you know, in touch. You know, you want to make sure that you keep up with the trends within this industry. So it should definitely be your go-to at the beginning of every year to take a look at the report and see how you can leverage the insights for you.
That's great. Great description. I'm so glad we've got you here today to help us through this.
Yeah. And, you know, Enno works a lot with all kinds of business analysis professionals from aspiring to mid-level to senior. And the fact that she uses this as a way of coaching them on their worth and how they might think about performing business, I think it says a lot about the value of the report in the profession.
Absolutely does. It does.
Yeah, for sure. So we are live today. If you have questions, the value of this is you can ask your question. We will get to them. But first, we'll go through the report, look at what's there, and it's probably going to raise a number of questions. So please continue to add those in the comments, and we will get to those after we go through the report. So let's pull it up here. I'm going to add this to our stage. The Global State of Business Analysis Report. This is part one. It will be several reports coming out. This is the first stage of the analysis. So let's jump into it here. Here we've got sort of some background. And I think background and context is always important in our profession, business analysis, right? Context, give that first, and then we can dive into the details. So here you can see that for those of you that are listening to the podcast, we've had more than 4,400 professionals that have participated in the survey, and they represent over 165 countries that have taken part in this. This covers off different levels of work. We can see what's in demand, education level, work experience. So we will dig into those. This is an annual report that IIBA produces. So if you're interested in past years, you can certainly look at those. This is something that members have access to. There is an infographic that's publicly available. We'll share some details with you later in this podcast. So any other thoughts, Anna, in terms of background on this particular side?
Yeah, something I love about the background of the report is that it cuts across all generations. So we have people as young as 20 giving their insights, people as old as 60 still giving their insights. And so we have so many people across different age brackets and then different parts of the world too. And so you get an idea of, you know, what does it look like in Australia? What does it look like for BAs in South Africa? And I really love how vast this report goes, and it's not just, you know, it's not just, you know, focused on the North American region.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's my takeaway as well, is that we really are an international organization. Right. And so the fact that we had 165 countries represent data, you know, it, whether it's time zones or currencies or languages or whatever, there is something in it for you at your whatever region you're from. So so just know this is a great representative people that have provided information. The other thing I want to mention, this is part one, as Scott mentioned, which explores that, but part two is coming up, will be about career development. And so that should be coming up in the near future. Maybe we'll have a part, but just know parts two and three are coming.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Okay, so let's talk about the value of this report. Anna, you talked a little bit about this as we sort of went through our introduction. This really is intended for, I think, all business analysis professionals. Depending on where you are in your career, you might get something different out of this. If you're new to the career versus you're a people manager, you might be looking for various information to help you through it. In terms of the value, and when you talk to people, where do you see people getting the most out of this type of information?
When I talk to people, I find that the parts of the report, of course, that definitely, you know, get them excited are first, like the salary data. That's for sure. People are like, wow, I could earn that. Like, I have 16 plus years of experience. And so salary definitely gets people like thinking about, wow, if I have these years of experience and I'm not making up, you know, this amount of money, then why am I not in this bracket? Maybe I need to get my CBAP or I need to get the Agile Analysis Certification. So it also gets people thinking about career development too as well, you know, when they see the data. And so those two areas definitely are key to a lot of the people that I speak to, is the salary data and then how can I develop my career so that I can keep progressing. And I also love that the report shows like executive director salary, manager salary, team lead salary. And so that's also a visual for us to see, oh, I might be a BA today or an intermediate BA today. However, in the future, you know, if I'm looking to become a director or a VP, there is a trajectory for me in business analysis.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so let's jump into seeing this. I think one of the values we talked about before we got on this as well is that idea of knowing your worth. I know in my career where I've worked in different organizations, the longest I stayed at an organization was 13 years. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to know when you're in an organization. You might see salary bands if your organization is that mature, but it's difficult to know what are you really worth based on your experience. So mm-hmm. this will give you some insights today of where that is, some actionable items that might help you out. So let's look at the organization size. So of the people that were surveyed, we've got 33% of the people working in organizations over 5,000 employees. The second largest group represented is 26%, and that's people that have less than 100 employees in their organization. So there's a diverse group here in terms of the environments that people are working in. So you can see that distributed across those various areas.
This is interesting because you would think would go from small to large. It is you're going from less than 100 employees all up to 5,000 plus. But it's interesting. There's this, at least in this representative group, there are big number at the top at each end of that organization size. So I think that's interesting.
I think for me, for this slide, what it makes me see is that small businesses hire a lot of business analysts. And so for a lot of people who want to work at large organizations, that's great. However, companies who have less than 100 employees still hire BAs. And so if you're looking to get into industries with less competition, or you're looking to get a role, and maybe you're trying to get into all the big tech and healthcare and consulting companies, try the smaller companies, smaller consulting companies, startups. They hire a lot of BAs. One thing to note is that they might not just have that title of business analyst. So that's what I see with the smaller organizations. And so, you know, this insight is great for you if you're also trying to get a job right now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That is a
great point. Yeah, great point. Because, you know, I've spent a lot in smaller organizations, and that translated into more kinds of opportunities,
right,
projects where business analysts could make a difference. So if you're somebody who wants to do different kinds of things, small organizations are a great place to get started.
Yeah, for sure. So just to summarize, it's in this report, about a quarter of the respondents were in organizations of less than 100 employees.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to our next slide. So this is reporting areas. Now, I always love this discussion. You know, people ask, well, where should a business analysis professional report? And some people say, oh, it's got to be IT. And other people, no, it's not IT. It's got to be the business. Well, no. So there's that debate. So this is one way that you can sort of understand where that sits. So in the center of this graphic, we've got 32% of people report to an information technology department. We've got 27% reporting to a line of business or department manager. And then it gets into smaller groups. So we've got 18% report to a project manager or a project management office, a PMO. 14% are other. And then 9% are a center of excellence. So they report into a COE or a COP, a community of practice. Yeah. So, Susan, what's your take on that in terms of what you've seen and the members that you talk to at IABA?
What I see is that a lot of people, business analysis is part of information technology. And I know, look how much that is up. It's up 5% from last year. That's Ben's point there, which I think doesn't really do business analysis justice, because, you know, business analysis isn't just about IT projects. It's also about business. And so when I look kind of at, so I'm using these AirPods and they just fall out. I'm sorry. All right, I'm back.
You're alive.
This is why
it's okay.
I love my headset. Yeah, I know. I love my headset. AirPods, they're hard. As I'm looking in the center there, I'm seeing, it seems like less business analyst as part of maybe something non-IT. That's just my kind of informal look at that. I'm really curious what you think about this.
Yeah, so when I look at this slide, I think about my career journey. When I started in business analysis, we were under the PMO. And so I was reporting to the head of the PMO. That was my boss at that time in my career. But when I look at my career right now and what the current state of business analysis is, a lot of business analysts are reporting to IT. And so, you know, when we think about our boss, we're thinking about the CTO or the CIO is typically the director or the VP that kind of oversees project management, business analysis, software development in a lot of companies right now. And we can attribute that to the huge, huge, huge digital transformational projects that have been ongoing since 2020. And so with a lot of emerging technologies, you know, like AI adoption, you know, data analysis, cybersecurity, you know, these departments are very IT focused. And then with a lot of BAs kind of functioning and supporting in these different units, that for me, you know, kind of reflects why we have more BAs reporting to IT now than the PMO.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's great insight. For those of you who didn't catch us at the start of the show, Susan is operating from a hotel room because she's doing a presentation today in Dallas, Texas. So that explains why her audio is a little bit choppy. We saw a few comments in there. So please bear with us as we get to that. But hopefully it doesn't impact your viewing experience here. So let's move on to the next slide. Here, I love this one. This is fantastic. So again, if you're listening to the podcast, you definitely want to check this one out on YouTube. So on this page, we've got average salary by job title. So we see a number of job titles. We also see the average salary by years of experience. So starting off from the 0 to 2 years is 67,000. Now these are all converted to US dollars. So that's the common measurement here. So depending on your country, you can convert that and see how that applies to you. So that 0 to 2 years, 3 to 5 years is 68, 6 to 10 years is 80, 11 to 16 years is 91, and 17 plus years is 105,000. And then we've got the various job titles, anywhere from a manager, director, VP, C-level. That salary mark was around 104. A practice lead, so this might be someone who's leading a center of excellence or leading a team, 103,000. A business consultant is 103,000. Manager of business analysis, so again, this would be someone leading people, 97,000. The consultant, it seems like the individual contributor top of this ranking is that consultant role, 93,000. And then it goes down from there. The lowest one here on job title is system analyst, which is 78,000. So as we look through this, Anno, what do you see in this? What do you think the people that you talk to would get the most out of looking at this slide?
For the people that we work with, especially people who are trying to, you know, start their BA career or grow their career, it gives them that insight into if this is the average salary that I could earn in this career, that means there's so much more. And the more experience I have, the more certifications I have, I could earn more. And if I also wanted to move into leadership, then that increases how much I make. And the beautiful thing about this is it's just an average. And so you might earn more depending on your industry, the country, you know, the company too as well. But it just gives you an idea of this is how much I'm worth, you know, in quotes. And one thing I love about business analysis is that, yes, this is the average salary, but we have seen people with about 10 years of experience still being able to get into like over $100,000 because they have certifications, they have specializations, you know, which is the beautiful thing about the business analysis career. As you grow in the career, the more knowledgeable you are, the more experienced you are, the more opportunities open up for you. And of course, that reflects in the salaries that you earn.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked for one organization that overpaid intentionally resources so they could attract the best talent possible. It was an interesting organization. I won't name them, but in the interviewing process, I went through a personality test before I even interviewed with someone.
Wow.
I went through an analysis test. I went through a proctored testing center to do some scenarios before I even got an interview. So depending on the organization, you could get paid much higher than this, but it's difficult to judge on the outside which companies do that and which ones don't.
Yeah. I think also something that is vital to see is the different job titles as well. And so you would see that, you know, as your skill set increases, so for example, you're now taking on product ownership, product management, or project management, the more money you make. And then when you move into a consulting or leadership position, and at that point, it just means that you have lots of varied experience and you can lead, that means you can make more money. And so for a lot of the current BAs who are looking to grow in their careers, you might want to consider, you know, some specializations as well to help you increase your salary.
Yeah. Any thoughts on this one, Susan?
I'll just echo what I'm saying there, that that as you know, as you look on the right side of the page where we're looking at business analysis job titles, you see that those are likely performance analysis, but when you get that side of that slide where you are looking at the increased salaries, what you are looking at is less about doing business analysis and more about helping organizations maybe strategically being more of an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur in an organization, right? That is a business analysis skill set, but now you are using it to help the organization at a much broader level. So you are heavily relying on soft skills as opposed to just the hard skills of business analysis.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. The higher you grow, the less technical skills you need to have, or it's more of the soft skills. And that's where leadership and people skills come in. And trust me, it is not easy.
Not easy. And it's not for everybody. About that, right. Sometimes it is not for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next slide. This one is salaries in industries. So what we've got on this slide is really talking about what are the highest paying industries and what's the average salary by employment level. So in terms of the highest paying industries, the highest one we've got in the slide here is consulting / professional services. We've got 92,000 here as that average salary. The next one to that is energy / utilities at 90,000. And then after that, we've got healthcare and pharmaceutical. So those are some of the top paying industries. The average salary by employment level, entry level junior is around 57,000, mid level about 69,000, a senior level around 88,000, manager 91. When we get into the senior manager, VP / director, we're at 102. And at the very top, we've got executive, CEO, president, owner, 111,000. I'm guessing those executive, CEO, president, owners might be people that are leading organizations such as yourself, NO, rather than being a company that's in financial services, for example.
Yes, absolutely. I want to believe that the executives and CEOs and owners are basically people who are incorporated consultants and running their own consulting. And that's why we definitely see consulting and professional services coming up as the highest industry right now. And the thing is, the beautiful thing about this report is that if you look back to the last 2 years, we definitely saw a lot of BAs saying they wanted to move into consulting. And so we've seen a lot of BAs move into consulting, start their own independent consulting practice. And so we've had more people become their own business leaders, business owners. And that's the reason why we're seeing more, a higher salary increase in consulting and professional services.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be a scary move going from, an individual mm-hmm. contributor or maybe a manager leader into an independent business, a very different space.
Yeah.
But I know a few people that have done that. And if you've got that entrepreneurship bug, they absolutely love it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Nice
but I loved also the consistency that I see in the industries that are paying the highest salaries. over the last 5 years, these are industries that have consistently paid high salaries: consulting, energy and utilities, healthcare and pharmaceutical industries, the government, and manufacturing. In fact, for us at the Business Analysis School, over the last 3 months, we've had more government job offers in our school than we've had in the last 5 years. So that speaks a lot about, the demand for business analysts in the government sector. And so if you are, you know, here and you're listening, you're watching, and you're looking for a job, consider applying to the government right now.
Okay. Well, very good tip.
I'll add to that. What I take away from this slide is, the consultant side, I see four industries that are dealing with a lot of risk and a lot of compliance. And so these industries recognize that business analysis is the differentiator because of the environments that they work in. And that's where, if you are interested in getting into business analysis that is very detailed and data oriented, these are four good areas: energy, healthcare, government, manufacturing, that have a lot of that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so let's move on to the insights. Susan, I just want to be cognizant of your time because you do have a presentation due right after this. If you do have to drop off, feel free to do that. Okay. I know at the top of the hour we've got a timeline for you. So key findings here, I'm going to get through these pretty quick so we can get to some Q&A. So this year, the average salary has increased by 4% for both women and men. That was one insight. 30% of respondents hold a master's degree, highlighting a significant number of business analysis professionals with advanced education. And what are your thoughts on that? And have you seen that as well?
I have seen that as well. In fact, you know, looking at our data at the Business Analysis School, we see that the average student has at least an MBA or an MSc. And so that also means that a lot of people have looked at, the fact that I have a master's degree didn't mean that I could get ahead in my career. And so getting the business analysis certification, becoming a BA, making that transition into BA roles have helped them. And so, I can definitely relate with that, with this slide.
And I've had a question from a number of people saying, hey, do I need an MBA to enter the business analysis profession? And how would you respond to that type of question, Anna?
No, you don't need an MBA to get into business analysis. It's helpful if you have an MBA because you're able to grasp the concepts faster, but it's not required to have an MBA to get started in business analysis at all. No.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to the next insight here. The Americas and the Caribbean regions lead in experience, with 25% of professionals boasting over 17 years of experience. So a little bit about the demographics there of people that participated. Also, consulting and professional services, as you had mentioned, Eno, topped the list of industries offering higher salaries than average of 192,000. And then we'll move on to the, I think this is the last one here. 87% of respondents are likely or very likely to recommend IIBA membership to a colleague or a friend. And we do have one more. Majority of survey respondents are aged 36 to 45, which is a shift from individuals aged 25 to 35. Now that's interesting. What's your take on that, Anna?
Yeah, I'm not sure why we don't have the people within that age bracket, responding to the survey compared to last year. And I wonder, what's happening? Is there like a disconnect? Are they not interested in keeping in touch or providing us with their data? And so that gives feedback to the IB. How can we re-engage people within those age brackets that were more involved in the survey last year? But this was definitely a shock for me to see that, this year.
Yeah. Okay, so that gets to the end of our slides here. We do have a free download. There's an infographic that's available. We'll have a link posted here so that you can get to that. The full report is available for members. So if you're an IIBA member, you certainly have access to that full report. You can check out the details. And as Susan mentioned before, there is a part two that is coming in the future as well. Just a reminder, we have our analysis everywhere. So if you've got a ping pong ball, an orange ping pong ball, you can participate in hashtag analysis everywhere. You can learn more about that at the IIBA website and our social media channels. So I'm going to turn off the presentation here so we can get to some questions and answers. Susan, I'm not sure, were there any there that really popped out at you?
There were, and I have starred them for you. I am gonna have to take off here. Let's see, actually this one really quickly, this one was from Anthony, and he was responding to, you know, where business analysts fit into organizations, like where they're, what they're part of. And so he said he's not really much on the IT side. Is that normal? And yes, it is very normal for business analysts to not be on the IT side. Maybe the key is they don't have a business analyst title. So maybe when we think in terms of true business analyst job title, maybe in most instances they are considered more IT, but you might be doing something with business analysis that not that title and be on the business side, totally normal. I spent half my career there, so it's true.
Okay, well, Susan, we'll let you go. Thank you. For those of you who joined late, Susan is in Dallas. She's presenting at the Oracle User Group Conference with Devlin Fletcher. So she has to run to do a presentation, but Anna and I will be here to answer the rest of your questions. So good luck with your presentation, Susan.
Thanks. Bye. See you guys.
Okay, so we'll jump into a few more comments and questions here, Anna. One is, we refer to ourselves as IT adjacent. I thought that was an interesting comment.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that. I like the sound of that.
So Benjamin, thank you for sharing that from YouTube. There's another one here. Antonio, these salary numbers don't inspire confidence in being a business analyst. These numbers are pretty lame, especially if you only crack $100,000 after 17 years. Now, this is interesting. Let's put some context around this, right?
Right.
So salary is really based on where you live around the world, not even in the province or state that you live in, but also in the city. So, for example, I live in the Greater Toronto Area, and mm-hmm. salaries here in Toronto are much higher than they are in other areas of the country, being the largest city in the country. So salaries are also dependent, too, on where you live. The cost of living in New York City, for example, is going to be very different than the cost of living in rural Utah. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to pick an example.
Yeah.
So you do have to take that in context. What we're looking at here is averages.
Yeah. And I want to add to that too, Scott. These are global averages over 165 countries, Antonio. So imagine someone in India giving how much they make, or someone in Ghana, or another person in Portugal. Like, imagine 165 countries and pulling the data together and giving you an average. It's not going to be same for you, who's probably in North America, who can make 100K just, you know, having 5 years of experience, you know, as a business analyst, because, you know, we've seen people with 5 years of experience making over 100K at business analysis school. And, you know, this has nothing to do with, you know, them even probably not even having the CBAP, just having great experience working on great projects that can benefit organizations. And so those numbers are global averages. Now, the report definitely breaks down the salary by country. And so you would see for Canada, for the US, for India, for South Africa, it's way lower in some countries and higher in others.
So thank you, Antonio, for your comment there. Congratulations on achieving your ECBA certification. That's great. And leading into that, there was a comment from Lewis here. It was just talking what you were talking about, Eno. Mm-hmm. Would like to see the numbers by country. So if you are an IIBA member, you'll have access to that detailed report that you can take in those details. Okay, so that's it for the questions here. Let me just see if there's any new ones that have been added since we went through them here. Oh, yes, here's a good one. And we've got the perfect guest, Anna, for the phone. What advice will you give us that just started our business analysis journey?
So Josephine, you just started your BA journey. So when you say your journey, is it that you just got interested in business analysis? If you did, I would definitely advise one, becoming a member of the IIBA, leveraging the resources on that website. Two, I would say get training. So go to an EEP, an endorsed education provider, take a training in business analysis. Based on your years of experience, you'll be advised if you can start with the ECBA, CCBA, or the CBAP. Get the certification, join the community, join a lot of sessions like this. And then you also want to join your local chapter and start to volunteer in your chapter, join their sessions, and you know, work with your coach at the school you join so that you can get your resume up to date, your LinkedIn profile up to date, and start applying for business analysis roles. And while you take your training, start to learn the tools. So we use a lot of tools as BAs. And so learning those tools would definitely help you to build your confidence within the career and join the community. Those are some words of advice I have for you, Josephine.
Yeah, for sure. I'll also share one more comment here. Amal, who's been on our show before, said, FYI, folks, Toronto was one of the hottest job markets in the world of business analysis. So it's interesting because it was another comment of, well, why is that? For a little bit of context, Toronto is the financial capital of Canada.
Right.
That's where all the financial services are. Mm-hmm. Financial services employ a lot of business analysis professionals. I've worked for the Canadian Bureau of Bank of Commerce, CIBC. Mm-hmm. I've worked for Capital One Credit Cards, mm-hmm. Canada. I've worked for Sun Life Financial. So mm-hmm. financial services is a huge part of the Toronto area. So that's my opinion on what might be happening there. But you can connect with Amal if you want some insights there. great person to chat to.
Yeah, I agree with the financial industry. You know, this when you're downtown, right? You're on Yonge Street, right? Like it's like all of the top five banks are represented right there, and they hire a lot of BAs full time and contract. And so, if you're in that market, definitely look into all the top five banks and then the insurance companies too, as well.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up there, Anno. Thank you very much for sharing your insights today. What we'll do is we'll leave your LinkedIn profile link in the YouTube video. That way, if people would like to connect with you, they can certainly do that. But again, thank you for your insights and sharing that with us on Business Analysis Live.
Thank you, Scott and Susan, of course, for having me today. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Anno.
Bye.
So thank you for joining us. Next time we're chatting is in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about how to do business analysis. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
This is the end of our live session, but if you've got questions, you can send us an email at live@iiba.org or leave us a voice message and we'll answer your question at one of our upcoming broadcasts. Join us.